Get back to your calls and texts here in a little while. Nashville Regional gets underway Friday at noon. Oregon Xavier, and then 7 o'clock Vanderbilt, the overall number 6 seed against Eastern Illinois, the OVC champion, Friday night at 7 o'clock. And the winner, if it's Vanderbilt, will host a Super Regional as well against the Oklahoma State region with Josh Holliday as the coach. Join now. And Patton, you're going to be involved in this, okay? Because I want you to be a part of the process as well. You are now the co-host with JB off this morning. Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Commodores. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you hitting them over there at Topgolf?
I've not hit any. so I'm at Topgolf with my family, specifically my son, and this is very much dominated by my three-year-old. This is his afternoon.
Well, good. Well, thanks for joining us. I don't know any other way to look at this, but you know, that Arkansas, that Friday night, you know, 8-2, you come back and win it. You win that series. You take 2 out of 3 from Arkansas. You go to SEC and you get that Florida monkey off your back Saturday. You win Sunday. This team is peaking at the right time, or a couple of weeks ago we wondered coming out of that Florida series.
You know, for the most part, I'm with you. I just think baseball is one of those weird sports, and not to sound like Coach Corbin, it was so resonant to me in the post-game press conference 2 days ago after Vanderbilt beat Texas A&M for the championship. He was asked about the slump and how he got the guys through it, and he said he doesn't use the word slump or skid or anything with his guys because it's baseball, and you're going to go through a moment that is challenging, and then you're going to come through it and you'll play well. So I don't necessarily know how this is going to translate into the Nashville Regional. I feel good about it. How can you not, the way that they're playing? I think they answered some questions for the most part about how they're going to piece together their pitching staff in a regional with some of the guys that have been hurt over the past month or so. Obviously, things are in a good place. And to have the freshmen come back, RJ Austin, Chris Maldonado, perform well at Hoover, things are in a good place. And as of now, that 8-run inning in the 8th versus Arkansas feels like a catalyst.
Well, and you're talking about people like an RJ Austin, you know, coming out and, you know, what, tournament MVP and all of that, and the young players. It just seems like all of them got confidence at the same time. Does that sound silly? It just seems like everything clicked, and I guess winning breeds winning.
For whatever reason, this offense for me, just watching it for just the past 2 years, has very much been buoyed by one or two successful at-bats, and then they string them together, and then they get really difficult to stop. And they had that happen kind of consecutively versus Arkansas. They had that happen consecutively versus Alabama and Hoover. They picked up where they left off against Florida. RJ Austin was that guy in Hoover because had a two-run home run, I think. Two-run home run in that first inning versus Alabama. And then came back the next day on Saturday versus Florida, and Vanderbilt had a threat. They were struggling to score runs. One of the runs scored on a pass ball. There was 2 outs. It felt like they might not get any more in that first inning, and then he hits a 2-run double off the left field fence, and then all of a sudden you're off and rolling. So he's been really significant, and so is Chris Maldonado, both of those freshmen. I don't know about you, Greg, but like you've watched college baseball and college athletics enough to know that the weight and the significance of freshmen and sophomores right now is not the same as it used to be a decade ago when Dansby Swanson was winning, you know, most valuable player in Omaha sort of stuff. It's just a little bit different with the super seniors and the grad transfers, and to have your tournament MVP be a freshman at Hoover is pretty indicative of the ability for Coach Corbin to get things done his way without totally succumbing to the movements of the current narrative.
Yeah, and that is going to be interesting to see how it goes through, you know, with all everything, with the collectives, NIL, the buttoning down of the transfer portal, however all that's going to, you know, shake out. Certainly getting Schreck through it, you know, the graduate student from Duke, you see that. And also knowing what buttons to push at the right time, I think is understated sometimes with Jim Corbin.
I would agree. You know, I've made this comment a couple of times, but baseball a little bit feels like the financial markets, where people say you can't really beat the market. Like, all of these people tell you that if you listen to me and you invest in the stocks that I say invest in, and you'll do great, and so on and so forth. Baseball is a little bit like that. Ultimately, the baseball stuff evens out. But if there's anybody that's able to beat baseball, like, marginally better than the rest of us, it's Coach Corbin. I mean, lays down a safety squeeze with Bradfield to go 5-4 versus Texas A&M. That ends up being the game-winning run for Vanderbilt, finding the right time to get Troy Lanez back into the lineup, and then frankly taking him out when it's necessary, and then bringing him back in against Texas A&M and hits the 3-run home run, and then goes with Cal Hewitt. He comes up with a bases-clearing double in the championship game. He loses his fair share of battles, but, you know, on the margins, it's hard to find somebody that, quote-unquote, beats the percentages of baseball a little bit better than Corbin.
Voice of the Commodores, Andrew Allegretta with us. Patton?
Andrew, you hear a lot about kind of how teams handle kind of postseason play, specifically the kind of conference tournaments, and wanting to have kind of rested arms and rested roster overall. Do you think Vanderbilt going as far as they did, of course, winning the SEC, do you think it did more good than bad, of course, with confidence and finding kind of the hitting rhythm and pitching some confidence in there? How do you think Vanderbilt came out of it on that aspect, playing a little more games than some of the other top dogs?
Yeah, I think it probably came out on the good end for a couple of different reasons. First up, Hunter Owen gets the opportunity to go 3 innings versus Florida in the first game, build him back up if he's going to pitch in the regionals this weekend. Devin Futrell, I only think through like 5 innings in his game. He pitched fine, perhaps not great, but certainly pitched fine. And then the back end of all of that, guys, as you know, is Vanderbilt. I'm not playing the injury card, but the depth that they thought that they would have in the bullpen and throughout the pitching staff was eroded throughout the course of the season. And it got eroded late, too. So they had to find some answers. They had to figure out, can Sam Loboke be a starting pitcher for us in a regional if we need him? I think the answer to that question is now, yes, he may not go 6 or 7 or 8 innings, but if he gives you 4 to 5 really strong innings, and you can hand it off to Patrick Riley or somebody else, then that's a good thing. We proved against Arkansas that Ginsler can be a starting pitcher if we need him to be. Again, perhaps he won't go 7 or 8, but he can go 3 or 4 or 5. I think Vanderbilt had questions to answer about how its pitching stacks up in certain situations, and the fact that they were given this many games to do it, I think, was pretty significant. And I don't think anybody, Pat threw a little bit on short rest. Thomas Schultz threw a little bit on short rest. But, Coach Corbin said it multiple times, and this is not a surprise. They're going to try to go win that championship, but not at the expense of anybody's health. And I think they were able to do both of those things, win the championship and not hurt anybody's health.
Well, and again, with your starters, I guess Carter Holton won't be available this weekend, but getting Hunter Owen back in the, in that rotation, you could extend him in more, and Futrell as well. It seems to set up. I think you have your druthers. I think you'd rather, win the SEC tournament championship, right? And I saw Tim Corbin quote, I think it was, the post game they were doing on the SEC network, is that You learn how to win these things by winning them, right? And I know that sounds too simplistic, but you learn how to win by winning.
And one of the things, Greg, that he told me leading up to this is the SEC tournament is a place that they've gained confidence and understood what it means to win in tournaments. And again, I'm not saying that Vanderbilt's roster is young. Like, Bradfield in center field is a junior that is going to be a top 10-15 overall draft pick, and Parker Nolan at first base has played in Omaha. But on the flip side, you've got a sophomore shortstop, a sophomore third baseman, a freshman second baseman. You've got a left fielder that whoever you're talking about has fairly little experience. You've got a catcher that, if it's Espinal, has little experience. These guys need those moments too. I know the numbers, right? I know that there's 3 teams that have won the SEC tournament that have gone on to win the national championship: LSU in 2000, LSU 2009, and Vanderbilt 2019. So I get the statistics and the odds, and we'll see how it shakes out. But I don't think what happened this past week in any way does detriment to Vanderbilt over the next 3 weeks.
Did you hit somebody with a golf ball with that ambulance coming? or somebody wounded over there?
You know what? I was trying to be. I thought about it. I was like, should I stay inside Topgolf and let them just get some thumping like Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way in the background, or should I step out on the patio? And I still lost that bet.
No, you. This is live radio, Andrew Patton.
Another guy has kind of had a heck of a season. He's going to have a heck of a career moving forward. Enrique Bradfield Jr. Andrew, how much pressure does he have really at the top of the lineup? Because you kind of, in every game that they've really got going, he's been the catalyst of it, both on the base pass and out in the center field as well. Just how much of a pleasure one is it getting to see him every game? And it almost seems like he started just each and every game. He just gets a little bit stronger with his bat as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's the most exciting player that I've ever watched, specifically on the defensive side in person in college baseball. I wish I had better verbiage. Like, the thing that I've called him is, not to be baseball sacrilegious, but like, he's Willie Mays adjacent. Like, maybe he's not Willie Mays. Maybe he's not Ken Griffey Jr. or whatever, but defensively, he is a top half of the Major League Baseball center fielder right now. Like, I think there's baseball teams that would like to put him in center field today, and they would upgrade their defense. Offensively, obviously, he's a threat. He's third place at this point, Southeastern Conference, most steals in a career, 130 or 131 at this point. I can't quite remember. What's interesting about him offensively, though, is, you know, most of the time he's in the mix, right? But not all of the time. I don't have the exact stat in front of me. I think they won the Alabama game and the Florida game with Bradfield not being deeply successful. Like, he was 0-for-4 in one of those games, perhaps scored a run after he reached on an error. His walk totals have been really good this season, so his on-base percentage has been great. He's had a wonderful season. I just think when this offense is at its best, it's not deeply dependent on Bradfield getting on base. It's dependent on Bradfield doing his job, and then the middle part of the order, somebody's finding a way to come through. And I still think when the offense is at its absolute best, the freshmen in the middle of the lineup have done a great job. Chris Maldonado and RJ Austin, those guys kind of hit their freshman wall at the same time, at the end of April, beginning of part of May, and it made life difficult. They were also facing the most challenging pitching that they were facing in their entire lives. So that was part of it too. But the fact that they stabilized themselves, they were efficient and they were effective. You know, it's one thing for Bradfield to be on, but if nobody can hit him in, then it doesn't matter. So when Davis Diaz and RJ Austin and Chris Maldonado, and once RJ Schreck gets going again, when those guys are being effective and efficient, they'll score a lot of runs. But they're also going to get into, you guys know this too, tight, grinded out games where, whether it's Bradfield as the spark plug, whether it's somebody else, you know, who knows who the regional, you know, Troy Leniev of the Arkansas game becomes, or Roe Coleman hits a walk-off versus Oregon at 14, or whatever it is. Like, somebody is going to have a big moment. And I think the fact that the offense isn't 1,000% dependent on Bradfield going 4-for-4 is a big deal.
Yo, and Leniev, what was that? Was he the one that hit the one in the trees? I mean, that was a moonshot, yeah. Right? Good Lord.
Yeah. Yes, that's one of the furthest baseballs I've ever seen hit in person. Like, I try my best to not be hyperbolic most of the time. I can think of one other one hit by a guy by the name of Ethan Groff, who actually transferred from Tulane to Ole Miss this year, hit one at East Carolina that my head almost fell off. But that one and then this one by Troy are, I mean, they're stunningly far. I mean, he hit it out of the ballpark and he hit it halfway up those ridiculously tall pine trees.
Yeah.
It was silly.
I don't know how much you've dived into the other three, but Oregon is the 2 seed. What do we know?
Not a ton, to be candid. I watched the Oregon-Arizona Pac-12 championship game. You know, I know the fact that all of them have won a tournament coming into this thing. I was looking at Eastern Illinois' numbers. You know, sometimes those guys have kind of a stud that has carried them. Perhaps they don't have the depth, but they find that one gem and he becomes an incredibly great player. The guy that I hunch will start against Vanderbilt on Friday has about a 4 ERA. His numbers are good. They're not overwhelming. He's just been an upperclassman. I mean, I think that's one of the positive traits from an Eastern Illinois standpoint is I don't think he'll be intimidated by coming to the Hawk. He's an upperclassman, like a graduate senior type player. So that's probably a plus for them. You know, it'll be interesting. I'll be honest, Greg. I don't have a ton of depth. It is, you know, we're all sitting here thinking we're going to get Lipscomb coming over. Who knows? Maybe you've got to deal with Indiana State again or something like that. There's always these teams that seem to be matched up against Vanderbilt in regionals. And once again, you've got Xavier, who I understand Vanderbilt played a handful of times, and of course, very unfortunately during that 2016 season. And then seen Oregon before with the Roe Coleman walk-off in 2014. And then, if you're so fortunate to get through it, then you've got to deal with one of Coach Corbin's best friends, maybe Johnny Holiday, or Josh Holiday, excuse me. Johnny Holiday is the broadcaster for the Maryland Terrapins. Josh Holiday. So, you know, there's storylines, plenty of them to be found.
Not surprised. 8 of the 16 hosts are SEC teams, and you got two number twos. Anything stand out with that? I wasn't surprised at any of that.
I don't know that I was surprised by any of that either. You know, the fact that Clemson got a top 4 overall seed, didn't they? Boy, the way that Eric Backich got that program to play down the stretch to go from kind of a fringe NCAA tournament team to a top 4 overall seed was remarkably impressive. You know, I know there was a big old conversation about RPI yesterday. I don't know, right? Like, I don't know. It's really hard. I felt bad for Kansas State a little bit because some of it's personal. Like their head coach, I used to work with him, Pete Hughes. He's been out there making a campaign for ways to tweak and change the RPI to try to fix it and all that sort of stuff. But I recognize that you tell Vanderbilt fans we're going to move away from an RPI and we're going to go to something called the net, then that's going to create heartburn too. So I don't know that I was surprised by any of it. Look, the SEC is the most well-funded, well-supported by a mile baseball league in the country. So the fact that they would end up with 8 hosts out of 16 is not in the least bit surprising. South Carolina, despite the fact that they struggled at the end, is going to put a great crowd in Founders Park, and it's going to be good baseball. I feel like there's some struggles with Kentucky in their regional. I feel like I was reading something. I don't know if you guys caught that, but like, there's a bunch of stuff going on. So like, hotel rooms are at a premium up in Lexington this weekend. But that's a baseball fan base that's starting to get behind their program too. So again, it's the most. I mean, Kentucky's got a beautiful ballpark, and nobody associates college baseball, you know, right away with the Kentucky Wildcats. Again, it's the most well-funded, well-supported, deep conference in the country. So 8 out of 16 isn't shocking in the slightest.
Yeah, the teams in the Lexington region will all be staying on campus in the dorm rooms. There's some concert venue going on. There's not a hotel room within an hour of Lexington.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. I didn't go deep into it to like have all of the facts or know, you know, like what is true and what is not based on what you read online. But I saw some of that stuff, and it does sound like they've got some hiccups to work through.
Well, Andrew, enjoy the calls. I really do. Got to listen to a lot of it. Just sort of get in the car, just drive around and listen to you. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Thank you, Andrew.
As long as I'm not getting cranky with umpires.
I did text you after that one. I had your back. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Most fans probably would.
Yeah.
But, I try to keep myself on the straight and narrow as much as possible. But every now and then, Greg.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right.